We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Hi, everybody. It's Rick Bidzwick with High on Healthy. And joining us today, we have Hugh Flynn, who's an award-winning journalist and playwright, has been published extensively on a range of topics, including health, disability, public policy, and entertainment, and just recently published an amazing book called Something Special Be. Tell us about, welcome aboard the show, Hugh, first off.
Thank you.
Something Special Be is a very personal memoir, and it's an autobiography, but of course, it's also a biography with regards to your brother.
Well, yes, I just released it, and I'll put some bookends on it because it's a memoir. So, like, hopefully, in a good memoir, it travels many paths. But essentially, I decided to take the year plus that I attempted to become his conservator of person and estate. And in that period of time, there was an enormous learning curve for me. And we being my brother Aaron and myself, we encountered phenomenal obstructions, oppositions, obstacles. And it was sort of the year of unbelievable stress. And so I thought I wanted to tell the story. Well, first of all, I wanted to share my brother to as many people as I could. He always was the most important person in my life and the person to whom I tried to model my life and myself after. So very influential to me. And
tell us about him.
How could I do that? I could just write a biography about him, as you sort of referenced. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, well, I think I'm going to sneak in there an awful lot because a lot of it is what I think and what I saw and what I learned. And so I thought maybe a memoir is more along the lines. And then, of course, nothing really tops that year. It was really a year and a half. And so I started writing it. Guys, I had such a huge archive of material that I thought I'll just go back and start stitching this together. I mean, I really wrote it over about 10, 12 years.
Right.
And very heavily in the last, to get it into a book was, like the last 2 years or so. And, but boy, talk about a treasure trove. There it was. And any writer, worth his or her salt needs to have good references and good material to go to. And so I just had it.
Right.
It was in boxes, in the storage unit. And because, boy, I'll tell you, if anything attorneys do, it's generate paperwork.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So tell us about Aaron, the person, and how.
Aaron is my older brother. I'm the youngest of several children, and Aaron is just next to me. And he was just the most wonderful. I really recoil from adjectives because they don't really kind of fit with him too much. But he was always just this ideal person of the type of person I wanted to be. And it was the only fraternal relationship I had.
Right.
It wasn't totally fraught with conflict. I mean, my older siblings were just God. We had a very conflict immersed family. I mean, this is just the way that the family was. Trauma coming out your ears, right?
Right.
And so he just was this remarkable person. He was everything that I think most people say they want to be and really maybe don't try that hard to be. He was born with Down syndrome. And I put that long at the end of the list because I never really, I never thought of him in those terms. I mean, right. He's just a person.
Yep.
And like, you know, I'm a person and you're a person. And it just wasn't a thing. I mean, until people would beat him up or ridicule or attack him. And then I would do what any good brother would do, which was defend my brother.
Right.
But I would defend any brother that was attacked or beat up. So,
yep. It's a wonderful thing when we see people for who they are and not by the outside picture that people portray as.
You're so on the money on that. And, you know, the thing was, so many things were appeared to be. Now I'm speaking for him and I shouldn't do that. But of course, the memoir does that. But so many of the things that I so admired about him seemed so easy for him.
Right.
You know? And I thought, why? Because life is anything but easy, right? Yep. I mean, the older we get, or the less, I'll speak for myself, right? Kind of like, God, you know, and looking at the long view backwards, it's like, how in the world did I ever negotiate this or that or this? You know, it's just so difficult. Life's so difficult. And I'm afraid we live in a world now with some younger generations that don't either haven't been taught that or don't seem to appreciate the fact that the world doesn't owe you a living. The world doesn't owe you a goddamn thing.
Yeah.
Okay, you've got to make your way. And that doesn't mean you step on everybody's head and toes, which, of course, brings me right back to Aaron. Because Aaron moved through the world like a cloud moves through the sky. I mean, just, you know, pixie fairy dust all the time. I mean, he had a magical quality to him where he could just come into a room that was so uncomfortable.
Right.
For any number of reasons. And make it comfortable. I mean, you know?
Yeah, it's amazing.
I watched, it is, and it, I'm not going to spend the next 25 minutes talking about that because I'm sure we want to get on other things, but I certainly could, believe me.
I'm sure you could, and, you know, that's the beauty of somebody who makes an impact. That's the beauty of somebody who makes an impact. It's not one thing. It is a combination of things and that we see. So how did you come to be his conservator?
Well, that's the book. Yep. Well, he had lived with me for a year.
Right.
So first of all, I'll back it way up. And the memoir does that. Memoir goes back here, does there. It's not linear. So we discover things sort of as I discovered them and put that piece and plug that in. And so I'm sharing that with the people who want to read the story. But I'll start, for this conversation, I'll start it to when our mother, who was like, you know, the entire U.S. defense industry plus, I mean, the strongest, the most indefatigable, magnificent person. I mean, she was a Midwest woman. She just was fearless in her life. I mean, just, ooh, I mean, and could be really scary at times. You know, but we adored her like you adore a massive hero from afar, you know.
Right.
That kind of person she was. She had this massive stroke when she was in her mid-80s. Up until that point, you know, she was still moving pianos and she was still carrying the world on her shoulders. I'm sure several of your audience members have parents that are sort of like that. Well, Aaron had moved back home 6 or 7 years. He'd been out for a while, living in sort of the group home kind of environment, which was a disaster. And so he'd come back home. And so in other words, he was still under her care. So she had this huge stroke and our father was still living, which was a miracle. And so there you are. And so when that happened, we had to come in and say, well, we have to do something now because the whole world got turned over on its head, which happens to people with families that suffer these huge traumas.
Sure.
We never first ever expected our father to be living when mother was, he only was living because she made him live, you know?
Right.
And it was kind of one of those relationships, you know, you won't die on me, God damn it. You know, that sort of thing. And so, but she the stroke was massive. She survived it, which was, again, a statement to what I was talking about. She was such a remarkable, no one, I mean, probably 0.006% of people would survive that kind of a stroke. She survived it. She sort of came back from it, but she was in no way, shape, or form in a position to continue to be a caregiver of anyone other than herself.
Right.
So I, anyway, long story short, it's in the book. He came to live with me. We're talking East Coast, West Coast. He came to West Coast, and he had been wanting to be that for a while. He'd been over here for, you know, staying with me for 2-3 months at a time leading up to that.
Right.
And then he'd been here a year, and then in the course of a year, there were some medical issues that came up. Well, that puts a huge, that's a huge risk exposure for someone like me or anyone in a role like that. And his, he had, he was receiving some public benefits, and his brothers, or a brother, was not sending them. So that had gone on for a year. So I put 100% of everything that, you know, that cost to get him here, which was about $40,000, over here and situated and happy and moved and integrated into the system here. And so I said, well, I think it's time we looked at the situation. And I knew nothing. I was reading Judy Heumann's book. She's a great, legendary American disability rights activist. She wrote a wonderful memoir of her own. And she wrote in early part of the memoir, she said, you know, when I started doing this, I had no idea what I was doing. And I thought, I can relate to that. He just kind of went into it, you know. It was one of those things where it's terrifying because it's unknown. And I don't like lawyers as sort of just a general state of my life.
Right.
They're just like maybe slightly below doctors. I mean, somewhere right in there. And, you know, and so that's how it happened. And so a lot of the book is sort of, and a couple of the reviewers of the book have commented about that, you know, that if it's great for people that go into that process, because it's not just a how-to DIY book. It's sort of like, this is a lived experience. And that's of course how it's told. But
right.
God, there's four, I'd have to check now, but I think it's about 4.5 million people in the United States are conserved. And
right.
There's over 50 million people in the United States who could be conserved.
Right.
And I just want to sidebar to explain in case anyone doesn't understand, it's listening to it. You don't need to have a disability. You don't need to be somehow incapacitated to be conserved.
Okay.
You do not. You could just simply say, you know what? I need somebody to help me. I could say that and say, you know what? I need someone to take over some of this stuff for me because I don't want to do it anymore.
Right.
And I've actually sat in a courtroom and watched cases like that be tried.
Interesting.
It was, yeah. So
interesting. So, you know, one of the premises of this show is because we deal with a lot of mental health issues. And one of the premises is there's no right path to mental health. There's an individual's path, and there's no one right tool or way of getting there, finding our own truth. With when you're dealing with what you went through, you were being impacted not just by having to be resilient and having to be strong for others, you're also dealing with the conflicts as they're hitting you and the pressures that are hitting you. How do you address that? Because it's overwhelming.
I won't lie about it. It overwhelming with, you know, three capital O's. I mean,
yep.
You know, as I said, I didn't know what this was going to be like. Not the first difficult experience I ever went into. And thank goodness
right.
for that. You know, this is the thing. I think I say this to younger people all the time, younger than me anyway. It's like, you know, things that are difficult in life are not bad.
Right.
Okay. Not necessarily. That doesn't mean they might not be painful, might not be this, might not be that. But if you can learn from something, you learn from it. And you take that. That's your little gift. Those are your little things that you pick up along your way. In our case, my family is mentally ill. I don't say that casually.
No, no.
I mean, we just have mental illness shadow all over this family tree. I mean, just, you know, whatever diagnosis you can probably come up with in a DSM manual, somebody in this family probably has it. In fact, one of the major characters in the story is one of our older brothers who was completely debilitated by his mental illness. And, you know, he suffered from severe bipolar, and he was had all sorts of depression and dysthymia and tendencies for paranoid delusion. And then my oldest brother had episodes of psychosis and schizophrenia. And, it was something I was exposed to early in life and didn't understand it. A lot of those words never came.
It becomes what's normal around us until we start sorting it through to figure out how do we navigate a path for ourselves.
If I can, I'm going to read a one paragraph from this book I talk about being a person with a generalized anxiety disorder, which is kind of my piece of that pie.
Right.
It's all through this book because this process tested. It was like pop quiz at noon, pop quiz at 1:15.
Right.
Before this happened, you know, you were like, whatever. So anyway, this is like right at the beginning of the book, just to let readers know right at the top of the bat, it says, I am sure, however, that every day of my anxious life, the same moon has remained high above and my love for Aaron has remained undimmed. This was true in the many years we lived far apart, when I struggled to be sober, when many friends died like splatters of rain on a dirty windshield, and even when skyscrapers crumbled into heaps of debris on live television. After all these years, I'm still trying to understand the many facets of our relationship, but today I am too busy and anxious to give it any more thought. So I go right down to saying how difficult this day was for me and the breathing techniques that I used to try to get through it. So I start with, today I was gulping air in various combinations to prevent an anxiety attack. Inhale for 7, hold for 5, exhale for 8, in for 8, pause for 4, release in 10, through the nose, through the mouth, slow, fast, noisy, quiet. Don't look like a gasping fish dangling on the end of the hook. And always remember that anxiety can be your friend.
Yeah.
So that kind of speaks to your observation about there's no right way. You know, yeah. So many breathing techniques is like, you got to do it like this. You got to do it like that. And so I'm poking at that a little bit right there. So
you are, but it also eliminates, you know, one of the things about your book and why it's a wonderful piece to read is,
thank you.
It is your journey, but it's something which anybody who's going through challenges and conflicts can read and emphasize with and see parallels to their own situations.
You know, I hope so, because the memoir is probably a fairly singular experience. Not everyone goes through conservatorships. Not everybody has, friends or relationship who have special needs, but we all have
people in our lives who have challenges and at different times. Yeah. It's like as we're raising children, they go through challenges and we need to be able to step back and assess it to understand how do we really help them, because we can't just jump in and solve the problem. We have to empower them the right tools to be able to help themselves through their own lives
and help yourself.
Yes.
And understand yourself in that process, yep. which is sort of a key aspect of my relationship with Aaron was, yeah, I helped him a lot. And then I was in the process of helping myself. And he was in the process of, because he always modeled things. He was sort of teacher by model.
Right.
And so that's kind of how I learn. I kind of learn that way. I'm still kind of a visual person, et cetera, et cetera. But the book visits many, many times. This point is how can I possibly deal with it? Because there were things that happened that absolutely, I mean, just put me right on my back. I could not believe the things that were happening. I mean, we were attacked in so many unbelievable ways. I couldn't believe this was happening in this century. Let's put it that way. I couldn't even believe it. And I couldn't believe the people who were doing it. You know, I mean, I think I mentioned, I mean, I had been punching people in the nose since I was 5. You know, because don't do that to my brother and don't do that and I'm going to knock you. And I did. I mean, the last time I punch somebody out when I might have been 19 or 20. I mean, I didn't do that for my entire life. But
not physically, but you've had to deal with it in other ways, and that's part of the resilience.
Right. I wouldn't be doing that today. I'd probably go to jail for that. But, you know, but it was sort of like, gee, we suddenly had out, we were fighting people who we thought were allies.
Right. And that's always a shock to people.
I would imagine that's what's like. I have never been divorced, but I would imagine that's what divorce is like.
Yeah, it's not a fun thing.
I thought we were a team, and now we're trying to kill each other. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's pointless energy wasted. But that's a whole other topic for a different show.
All right.
Hugh, for people who want to, because we are running out of time for today, and you know, your book's fascinating, but for people who want to get a copy and learn about not just your journey, but reflect for themselves on how they can do better and pass through their own challenges, where can they find the book?
Well, the book is on Amazon. It's available in paperback. It's also available in ebook. I don't know when this is going to go live. If they try to get it like the first week of May, there's going to be a huge promotion where it's going to be like 99 cents or free for like a week.
So that we'll run it at the beginning of May. How's that?
Yeah, that's going to be when I would say get it if you can get it then. I mean, it's not an expensive book, but yeah, that's where it is. That's where it lives. It'll migrate. So I did the KDP Select program where they get exclusivity for 90 days. But then after that, I'm going to open it up to other platforms. So that's where we are. And I just want to say, I hope I didn't get into the process of telling people how to do it. No, I just offered people a way to say, this is the way I did it. And this is what worked for me. And I think that was a lesson that I had to learn over years of experience, that I often failed because I thought I failed because it wasn't the way someone told me I should do something, A, B, C, or D.
Right.
I learned that fish up the stream thing was like, well, if this works for me, then it works.
Yep.
And there's a lot of tools that I use. There's a lot of them I talk about in the book about how I did it. You know, I've got kind of a cinematic voice and sort of a, as you can tell, yakking with me. I mean, you know, the book is like that. So,
right.
I went for as much honesty as I could. I thought that was the way to get people into the process and into the story as much as possible. So that's, I think that's it.
Yeah.
Is that it?
That is it.
You tell me.
So this show is publishing, I think, on April 28th. And for listeners, you know, who are listening to the show, the book is Something Special B, Hugh Flynn, and available through Amazon and then later through other channels. Thanks for coming on the show and telling us about your story, Hugh. It's really inspiring.
It was my pleasure. It was great to meet you, too.
Nice meeting you.
Okay.
Thanks to everybody for listening. I'm Richard Zwicky with High on Healthy, and we'll be chatting again with you soon.
We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.